You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Continue to check out my draft breakdowns there. Anthony Richardson's pro day. Excited about his fantasy football potential as a rookie and beyond in this league. A lot of exciting rookies about to come to the league. We'll have a lot of draft talk as we turn the calendar to April, but it's still March here, and we wanted to look at some early sleepers, and we're going to do that across position. So if you missed our look at the depth charts across the league, all 32 teams, we got to them by division, so check those out. The latest on how teams are looking and kind of setting it up as an early preview there for you. We've got that up. Now we're going to focus on players again and look at the quarterbacks that have most appeal after a lot of the free agent moves were made here. Most teams have their starters except for the ones that are going to target a quarterback in the first round of the draft. We're going to be proceeding with caution on those players, but we do have some veterans in really good positions here that could surprise us. And keep in mind that we didn't think that some of these quarterbacks were going to be in the top 12 last year. Trevor Lawrence, he's surprised. We know what we got from Jared Goff, Daniel Jones, and then the biggest surprise of them all, finishing as a QB5 behind Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, and Joe Burrow. It was Geno Smith. So go figure, Geno Smith throws for the most passing yards ever for a Seahawk, replacing Russell Wilson, and really comes through as a fantasy football asset. So he was the steal of the year for sure. And there's going to be some players like that that surprise us, and some that were in the top 12 last year that are going to be disappointing. So we'll break that down for you in today's show. We're looking at the sleepers. We like to be positive here. So we have two pretty clear-cut sleepers here. Some guys in the middle that are maybe a little bit under the radar, then two that are a little bit deeper in that Goff-Smith range to think about here for 2023. We'll cover those six players here, including Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson on the show. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen today. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts, so please subscribe and follow for free, including on YouTube. All right, it is time to dive into the top two, and really, it's pretty clear here. Russell Wilson is right up there for me. I mean, look at the way that things went down for Wilson last year. They couldn't be any more disastrous there with what happened in Denver, the Nathaniel Hackett situation. They were not on the same page from the very beginning. It was the kickoff in week one that we realized, oh, Geno Smith might have some real value here and might have fantasy football relevance here all throughout the season. Well, Russell Wilson disappointed in that first game, and it continued. Those trends were set in week one when the Broncos played the Seahawks. So we expect, however, better things for Russell Wilson. There are so many signs that point to Wilson having a bounce back breakout season. He also has a very strong history of QB1 finishes from Seattle, and that's going to carry over to Denver. I think you'll see more of the real Russell Wilson here. There were a lot of factors that really hurt Russell Wilson. You had Tim Patrick's injury, you had Garrett Bowles' injury, you had a dysfunctional offense, Javonte Williams went down. So all kinds of things that were limiting what Russell Wilson could do. Now you get an offensive-minded coach in Sean Payton. He brings over one of his trusted guys, Joe Lombardi. Keep in mind, when Payton was there, final season with the Saints, Jameis Winston, when he got the chance to start, was putting up average QB1 numbers here. It was a little bit ambiguous there because we had the incorporation of Taysom Hill and getting him into the mix post Drew Brees. Last year, everything was blown up in New Orleans with Sean Payton leaving and Dennis Allen taking over as head coach. So really can't look at the Saints offense from last year as having too much merit here on what we think the Saints offense can do translating to the Broncos here in 2023. 2023. We got to look more in 2021, and there was definitely a lot of buzz over what Jameis Winston could do in that offense, and it wasn't Drew Brees' numbers, and he didn't stay healthy, and he didn't have the consistency at starting, but this shows you what Wilson can do, and really, look at the weapons, they're fantastic. So Tim Patrick comes back. They're not trading, for now, Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, so regardless, they have Tim Patrick. They added Marquez Callaway, who's a pretty good number four in the mix now, if you look at what they have. They also have KJ Hamler, so he's going to compete, Callaway and Hamler, for those key touches. Pretty good depth beyond that. Kendall Hinton has been on this team for a while. We'll see if he makes it. And you also have Montrell Washington, draft pick from last year. So we talked about the Broncos depth chart. It was a good place to kind of springboard off of. That was the last division we took there. And they're definitely upgraded and deeper at wide receiver. At tight end, they're loaded as well. Greg Dulcich is now joined by Albert Okwuegbunam. You got some really good potential is number three and Chris Manhurt. So you're loaded at wide receiver. You're loaded at tight end. You have enough running backs now with a very good pass catching back, Samaje Perine, joining Javonte Williams, who's growing as a receiver. So all the weapons are there with Bowles back, and they getting Mike McGlinchey at right tackle, Ben Powers at left guard. This is all setting up for Russell Wilson. That's why we examine the depth charts, not just at quarterback, which there's not much there. Jared Stidham is your number two. But looking at all the support that you get for Wilson here and also a competent play caller in a scheme that Wilson fits really well, because this team is going to be run-oriented, but they're going to open up deep shots there for sure. You saw that with Drew Brees, put up very prolific passing yardage numbers all throughout his time with Peyton. So I'm not saying Wilson is just going to simply embrace everything the way that Brees did and be a perfect fit, but he's got to be better than last year. There's just too many weapons and too many things that can go right here. So Russell Wilson is one of those guys being ranked well below QB1 that's in the top 12. He's far away from that. He's more in the mid to late teens here. I think Wilson is being undervalued for sure. Given his track record, given the kind of quarterback Sean Payton has produced, given what the Broncos have offensively around him, it all points to Wilson having a big rebound season, maybe in that conversation for comeback player of the year, much like Geno Smith was taking over for Wilson in Seattle. All right, Deshaun Watson, he's the other one that we look at easily, but we didn't expect the Browns to be this aggressive in upgrading their team, but you have already Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, David Njoku, Harrison Bryant is a pretty good second tight end. A little bit of void here with Kareem Hunt out of the mix, not re-signed yet. He still could come back. They moved on from D'Ernest Johnson, but the thing about Deshaun Watson, he's not a big checkdown quarterback unless you kind of tailor him to that. He likes to throw downfield. So now you get Elijah Moore to work the slot. Peoples-Jones is a speedy guy on the outside. You got Amari Cooper who can line up in a variety of places. You got David Bell, who's a kind of a big slot here in development. So pretty good value there. You got Anthony Schwartz, who's got some field stretching speed as well. So this offense and the weapons are tailored to what Deshaun Watson does well. Of course, he can also give you some numbers, much like Wilson, in the running game on top of those big plays downfield in the passing game. This offensive line, there's no question at all about this. With Jedrick Wills at left tackle, you have Jack Conklin holding down right tackle. Wyatt Teller, maybe the best offensive lineman on the interior in the league. He's at right guard here. So really pretty solid overall for the Browns up front. The Browns' defense is a little bit better, but I don't think it's to the point of domination. And Wilson has been waiting for this. And Jacoby Brissett, we know, put up some competent QB1 numbers at times in the right matchups. And now you have Watson inheriting this offense. It's a full offseason and season of work here that he's going to have in this offense. So fully restored here. And there were some flashes of it. He was getting his feet wet a little bit in this offense. It was hard to go in there after 11 games of Brissett, but now you'll see more of the real Watson emerge. So that one I think is a little bit more obvious, but I think Wilson still has a better shot than finishing higher than Watson. I think the Browns defense actually might be a little bit better than the Broncos defense. I know you have that backbone in Denver with a lot of top players, but they're also playing in the AFC West, where there could be some high-scoring games with the Raiders, Chargers, and Chiefs, so that's why I would lean a little bit more Russell Wilson here and then Deshaun Watson having that QB1 potential to finish in the top 12 in scoring at the position here in 2023. We're looking at the early quarterback sleepers for this season here. We got four more to talk about, two in that mid-range and three a little bit deeper that we're going to look at here that could finish in the top 12, much like we saw Smith, Lawrence, Jones, and Goff really surprised us last year. So looking forward to that. We know the quarterback rankings are not how they always end up finishing, so that's some great stuff to think about, as well as the Built March Madness bracket. It's here. You know you have a favorite Built Bar puff. Now's your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. It is the end of March here, so you want to get into it. You know I'll be voting for the Churro Bar. I also like the Coconut Almond Bar. Whatever your favorite bar puff is, you can go after it, and it's an exciting time. You've got probably one of your favorites that you're looking at either in the men's or women's Final Four. You'll be pulling for that team. Well, you'll be voting for your favorite bar, too. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built is the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing you won't think they're good for you. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they're high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, 100% real chocolate. Get in on the Built March Madness now. All you have to do is run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so get on it. We're end of March here, so hop in and support your pick. All right, we will continue the show here in a moment on Locked On Fantasy Football. We're looking at six early quarterback sleepers for fantasy football in 2023. Make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the network. I have a lot of draft coverage at sportingnews.com. We also have great coverage here on the Locked On Network. Locked On NFL Draft, Damon Parson, Keith Sanchez do a great job breaking down the prospects, the team fits, all that good stuff here leading into April 27th. So big month with April coming around here. The draft, hard to believe, will be near the end of the month. So check them out. Damon Keith do a great job breaking down the prospects here on the network. Locked On NFL Draft, part of Locked On Podcast Network, just like this show, Locked On Fantasy Football, your team every day. All right, another sleeper that I really like this year is Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I know Derek Carr didn't finish in QB1 status last year, and he was a bit disappointing, but Jimmy Garoppolo also has had a history of finishing in the mid-teens there as a fantasy football quarterback with his days in San Francisco and New England for a brief time starting. He doesn't put up huge, huge numbers, but I look at the Raiders. They were a run-heavy team last year, and that's the one concern we have, but I don't think they can afford to be that. I think they're, again, their defense still has some holes. I don't think they're going to be able to plug all of them. Just like Russell Wilson, you got to deal with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert in this division quite a bit here. So looking at Garoppolo and Wilson being involved in some of these duels as well. So you look at the weapons. I mean, you have Davante Adams. He's an automatic wide receiver one. Hunter Renfrow hopefully will come back healthy. You've got now Jacoby Myers. He knows this offense inside and out of Josh McDaniels as well as Garoppolo. So they haven't played together, but this is a good connection to look at. Tight end is a little bit challenging. Austin Hooper is the new guy there that they look at, as well as O.J. Howard, because they traded Darren Waller. Foster Moreau has had a medical issue, so he's going to be out. But definitely with those receivers, there's a room to put up some numbers for Garoppolo. Jacobs himself is a good receiver out of the backfield. Garoppolo's not going to give you much of that running. Wilson can do a little bit of that, although he's curbed it in years. Watson does a little bit more than Wilson. Garoppolo's not going to give you that element, but there's just going to be some high-volume games here with the Raiders that's going to happen. And I think they were a little bit gun-shy with Derek Carr because they weren't fully immersed in him into the Josh McDaniels offense. But now Jimmy Garoppolo, they're going to throw everything at him. They're going to work to these weapons here quite a bit. So I think the weapons are just too good to ignore here in Las Vegas for a quarterback of Garoppolo's caliber in an offense he knows well under McDaniels. So, again, decent enough with those three receivers. Enough passing volume is going to happen where I think it's definitely going to be bumped up from what he was used to with the 49ers. And again, trailing situations are going to happen often for the Raiders here. He still could be the worst team in the division. So a lot of garbage time that he's throwing for a lot of yards there that you look at. So Garoppolo's capable of that with the high volume to put up the numbers. He just hasn't been asked to do that here in a while because the really, you look at the Patriots, they had a tough defense as well. The 49ers had the running game that was so elite. I mean, I get it, there's the leading rusher in Las Vegas, but I think they want to open up the pass game. That's why they get Myers here with Renfro, try to get the ball downfield a little bit more. So that's all going to push well into Garoppolo's favor here. So he's a guy that I'm watching for sure as a QB1 sleeper outside of the top 12 in the rankings right now. Another player to watch here to do that is Derek Carr. Again, he hasn't had finishes inside the top 12. He's just been outside 13 to 15, that type of range for much of his best seasons in his career. But we look at the Saints. We said the Saints offense and the potential there, the Jameis Winston numbers from a couple years ago on average. I know that Sean Payton and Joe Lombardi are now in Denver, but some of the same concepts are there for the Saints. Derek Carr also has some extremely terrific weapons here. You have Chris Olave and Michael Thomas returning. Michael Thomas already battling a bit of injury, but you have Olave, who's pretty special here. You've got Juwan Johnson, who's a good finisher of the red zone. That connection can reheat here with Carr because Carr threw the tight end quite a bit. You also have some potential in the slot here with Olave or Michael Thomas lining up there at times. But you really like what the Saints can do. And don't forget about Rashid Shaheed. He broke out as a bit of a big play threat last year. So not bad three receivers here. And you add tight end with Juwan Johnson. You get Adam Troutman. Of course, Alvin Kamara out of the backfield still as a very capable receiver. For now, he's in the mix. We'll see about any suspension or potential movement of Alvin Kamara. But you look at Carr, he's got the keys to a very good offense that can put up numbers here. We saw it with the Breeze environment. We saw it with Winston. Again, a lot of the remnants are there, what Sean Payton laid the foundation for in this offense. So look at the weapons. Look at the potential volume as well. I think the Saints' defense is going to take a drop back as well. They lost a lot. They lost Ryan Nielsen, the assistant coach, is now the Falcons' defense coordinator. They lost some key players up front, David Onyemata, Caden Ellis, Shy Tuttle. So they're going to be a little bit weaker defensively. That's going to lead to a little bit more passing here for Derek Carr. Again, he's going to have to get it done all through the pocket. And really some of that hurts these type of guys who can't run and or not willing to put up numbers like that. But Carr can do it again with the weapon. So when we're looking at Garoppolo or Carr, we're looking at can they give you the numbers that, say, a Kirk Cousins did. And Kirk Cousins may have a drop-off here with Adam Thielen gone. Jared Goff may not be able to recreate things here, or they move on and they get a new quarterback there. And then you look at Tom Brady, he's gone, he's retired, he finishes the QB12 last year. So there's some potential for these pocket passers to finish in the top 12. We know that the runners are always going to have the advantage, but Joe Burrow is the best case in point of being able to put up strong QB1 numbers without reliance on the running game. So Garoppolo and Carr can do it. They're in the right positions to do it as Garoppolo replaces Carr, and Carr replaces essentially Drew Brees on delay here in New Orleans. All right, there you have it. There's a look at two more sleepers that make a lot of sense here when you look at how they're on the move, the offenses they have inherited, as well as the weapons there to really make them more successful in terms of production that we can look at in fantasy football. Now, we will look at two more. These are two deeper sleepers that I'm going to have my eye on here, and we'll unveil those in our final segment here. It is March Madness, as we mentioned. The tournament is here. The Final Four is at the end here for both the men's and women's bracket. There's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. So you want to download that FanDuel app now, because that's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Yeah, check it out. There it's on your screen if you're looking at YouTube to give you the insight you need to get in on the action and get that bonus bets offer there. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockdown to sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the nets. whether it's on the men's side or the women's side. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel Today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official betting sponsor of the NFL as well as the NBA, and thankfully a great sponsor here for Locked On Fantasy Football. All right, it is time to close the show and the week here on Locked On Fantasy Football with a look at two more sleepers, early sleepers at quarterback. We're part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Coming up next is a guy that could finish in the top 12 at quarterback is Jordan Love of the Packers. We were just waiting for the Aaron Rodgers trade to happen. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I could have put on this list, but he's a QB 13 with Brady retiring. He's right there in the top 12 already, so I didn't consider him a sleeper. But Jordan Love is an interesting guy for sure. We saw in the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, it didn't take long for Rodgers to be a top fantasy football asset. Jordan Love has that potential. I mean, look at the weapons, Christian Watson, Romeo Dubs there. So you could also see them pick up a tight end in the draft, such as Michael Mayer or Dalton Kincaid. So that helps. Aaron Jones is a good receiver out of the backfield. This offensive line still holding up with David Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins and others. There, Love has a little bit of running potential as well that Aaron Rodgers didn't offer. He had the mobility and athleticism. He'd throw downfield, but you didn't get the same kind of running aspects of what Jordan Love can do. He's got a little bit of athleticism. That's going to say he's going to run wild here. Still going to be a pocket passer executing the offense. But this offense does have a lot of special attributes. I know as much as Rodgers struggled last year, finishing as a QB 13 was something to watch here. So now you get a second chance with Jordan Love changing things up in Matt LaFleur's offense. But definitely he flashed pretty well to say there is a number pleasing to be had here with Jordan Love with the keys to this offense. So that's really what it comes down to. What's the support? How are the Packers going to respond here? I think the Packers will also take a hit in the division and not be as good of a team. That should lead to higher volume with their defense struggles a little bit. A little bit of changing the guard with the Lions and Bears on the rise here, and the Vikings may be in for a slip. But Jordan Love, I like the talent. I like the weapons. I like the volume that can happen here. I like the versatility that you can get the numbers out of with Jordan Love. So he's definitely a sleeper I'm putting on my radar with high upside here. I mean, they've been waiting for him as a first-round pick. He's done enough in limited playing time to believe in him, especially with the high quality of the offensive scheming in Green Bay. And now this one will be seeming to be totally out of left field, a dart throw, but there is some good logic to it. It is Sam Howell of the Commanders. Now, I know the Commanders are being a little bit careful with Jacoby Brissett there. We know he put up some numbers, but I think I'm just going to look at the Commanders starting quarterback because they have good value. Now, Sam Howell didn't play a lot, but he did flash some QB1 numbers in limited action last year. So they're trusting in Sam Howell here to the corner. But what I like about the Commanders is you got Taylor Heinicke that could put up some numbers there. We saw Carson Wentz early in the season. I think Sam Howell can give them some of those numbers. I think it'd be a little bit more than a platoon guy for them and hold up with the numbers there and not being replaced by Brissett. I could see that develop. I also see them move on with Brissett here and work as a bridge if Howell doesn't cut it. But you look at the weapons, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Curtis Samuel. You got some good pass catchers out of the backfield. Antonio Gibson is the lead of those with Brian Robinson Jr. Decent offensive line that upgraded here with Andrew Wiley at right tackle to complement Charles Leno Jr. at left tackle. So you have a lot of things in place here for Howell to be an interesting sleeper. I also think the Commanders' defense still a little bit shaky. They've got the guys up front, Chase Young and Jonathan Allen, and the re-signed De'Ron Payne, but on the back end, still looking for some secondary answers. And you look at this division, there could be some high-scoring games. You have Jalen Hurts and Daniel Jones, QB1s from last year. Dak Prescott should rebound as well. There's going to be some offense given up here by the Commanders, and that should lead Sam Howell to throwing quite a bit here. So right now, I say Howell has the edge to start over Brissett. They're keeping Brissett as a contingency and a bridge backup should Howell kind of fall flat on his face. But I think there are some nice attributes about Howell. That's why they're trusting him to start. There's certainly the weapons. There's certainly the volume that can be had. And if Taylor Heinicke or Carson Wentz can give you those numbers in a different situation, splitting time. Sam Howell, if he's the full-time starter there and keeps that job, watch out. So you'll have Sam Howell as a deep sleeper that no one's really talking about. He's the kind of forgotten quarterback in that division. It's loaded now with Hurts and Prescott and Jones. All of a sudden, a quarterback, but Howell's going to get every opportunity to put up those numbers. If not, Brissett is the QB1 for the Commanders can do that as well. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the sleeper quarterbacks I have on my list. Six sleepers to look at early across the board that could sneak into QB1 status, top 12 scoring in fantasy football leagues here for the 2023 season. So we'll do that again with running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, and then we'll focus our attention on the draft quite a bit. So we're giving you some feelers out after free agency. We'll have some different vibes after the draft as well. But these are six guys we definitely like with that potential to break in to the top 12 in 2023. Thanks again for making Lockdown Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Again, we'll be up looking at the running backs there, sleepers that we're going to look at outside of the RB2 realm to sneak in there. Now make your second listen Lockdown NFL Scouting with the draft dudes from free agency to draft, salary cap management, and more. Join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the draft dudes wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube. Part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great weekend, and we'll check you out looking at the sleepers at running back here early for 2023 fantasy.